From meager beginnings as an adolescent ambulance washer in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, to a decade-long legacy of bringing you breaking news before it makes the news, broadcasting live from the studios of Scared Monkeys Radio Network via C-band satellite W3-957, Access Communications Channel 7, and worldwide via digital streaming audio at scaredmonkeysradio.com, it's the Dana Pretzer Show. And now, your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, good evening, everyone. We have a busy show ahead of us tonight. I thought I'd bring on my friend Clint Van Zandt. You'll know him as a retired FBI agent, author, safety expert, analyst on MSNBC and NBC shows to talk about two high-profile cases in the news. Both you can read about at Clint's Newsvine website. There's a link in the show notes, and I'm talking about the Kyron Horman case and, of course, the Barefoot Bandit. Hi, Clint.
Hey, Dana, good evening.
This Barefoot Bandit, you know, he needs my size 12 police boot right up his rear end. you know, and it makes me think of that, that I can't think of the name of the movie, Leonardo DiCaprio, that dopey...
Catch Me If You Can.
There you go, perfect name for it. And this guy is no Leonardo DiCaprio. In fact, I hope he spends a long time in jail. Let's talk about him.
Yeah. As you know, he's a 19-year-old young man by the name of Colton Harris Dashmore, who has been in and out of trouble probably since he was 12 years old. He got arrested for his first burglary. You know, part of this dates, you know, Dana, you know, we're all creatures of nature and nurture. You know, it's what genes were we born with and what environment did we grow up in? And in his case, I think, you know, part of it, and not giving this guy a pass, but I think he had the media reports was a mother who, when she drank, was extremely abusive to him. His biological father took off and left him when he was a baby. His stepfather died when he was just an infant. And, you know, I don't know how tightly wrapped his mother is. But I think that's been part of his issue, too. And I think she's been more of an enabler with his negative behavior than anything else. All that said and done, he still appears to be a budding young sociopath who for the last 2.5 years has kind of been on this one-man property crime wave of up to 100 businesses, residences, cars, boats, trucks, airplanes that he's stolen, damaged, broken, walked off with. Well over, $100,000+, some of these airplanes alone are going to run that much.
Yep.
And, of course, when he was caught in the Bahamas the other day, law enforcement had to shoot out the twin outboard mortars on the boat he was stealing to get him stopped. He cranked off a round with a 9mm pistol, but I think when they opened up with shotguns and an Uzi to silence the engines on that boat, he threw the gun out and dropped to, allegedly, the fetal position on a boat, and law enforcement grabbed him, ending this crime wave. And, you know, there's this following, 70, 80,000 people who follow him on Facebook. They kind of see him as this cult or anti-society hero, something like a John Dillinger, perhaps, from the 1930s. And when he was captured, all the Bahamian cops wanted to get their picture, you know, taken with him.
Jeez.
But once the photo op was over with, they were very quick to get him out of the country. And, of course, he's been flown back to Miami, and then the marshals will take him up to the Pacific Northwest to answer the federal charges. And then the locals are going to have to figure out what they're going to do with him also.
Clint Van Zandt's here, and we're talking about the Barefoot Bandit. And that's the strange part about this. And you bring up Dillinger, and that's a great example going way, way back. And we can think of many high-profile criminals, including Vandersloot, that seem to have this sick, sick twisted following and Facebook and MySpace and all the Internet that's out there. But even the media like to glorify this guy. And then when we see these movies like DiCaprio running around, I think he was a forger or a check writer or something,
exactly.
That character he played. I want you to comment, Clint, about the public and the psyche of Joe and Mary Sixpack sitting back and actually cheering for a character like this.
Well, realize, number one, any time in the last 2.5 years, somebody could have been hurt or killed. He was breaking into private residences. We don't know what he was armed with, and we know the FBI considered him armed, and we know when the Bahamians finally caught him, he was carrying a 9mm pistol. So had had there been a confrontation, we know there was at least one, but had there been any significant confrontation in a private home, somebody could have been injured. He's stolen cars and wrecked them and boats and especially airplanes. I mean, what if this young man had, instead of crash landing the plane along the beach in Bahama, had crash landed it in a school with about 200 or 300 children inside of it and set the building on fire? I mean, then that cult following would have changed very quickly. So, you know, I understand there's this movie comic book-like quality, especially for young men and women to see somebody like him. Run, Colt, run is what they have printed on their T-shirts. But the reality is this guy has just been a nuisance and a pain, and the potential for him hurting someone or him getting himself killed is very great. So he's awfully lucky he got out of this alive. And for those who cheer him on, go ahead and write your checks and use PayPal and submit money to his legal defense if that's what you want to do. But put yourself in a position of all of these property owners, well over 100, who have lost hundreds if not thousands of dollars to this man due to this young man due to his antics, who may never get their money back again. People in tough financial times who can't afford to lose that money at all. If those that are cheering for him were in the position of having lost what some of these people did, perhaps the cheers wouldn't be so loud, Dana.
Yeah, absolutely. And you use in your article examples like D.B. Cooper, Bonnie and Clyde, etc. And, of course, they met their Waterloos. But you and I both know there's some dopey film producer out there that's going to grab this story and start writing some checks to his family. He may not be able to profit from it, but, you know, who knows? There's always backdoor deals that are done.
His mother is working on a deal right now. His mother, it doesn't make any difference where you live, but in her case, she lives in a trailer at the end of this gravel road with a big sign that says, "Trespassers will be shot." So that tells you the mentality of somebody you're dealing with. She's already, even though she hasn't had any contact with her son in a while, she's already got a lawyer working with her to handle the potential book deals and movie deals. And Dana, we're going to see something like this. Unfortunately, and today, no bad behavior goes unrewarded. Whether you're breaking into a White House dinner or whether you're burglarizing homes from the Pacific Northwest to Florida and down in the Bahamas, that bad behavior in our day-to-day somehow gets rewarded, and there's people who want to give you high fives instead of 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. It's a weird fascination. My commentary on the webpage today talked about putting Roman Polanski, the Barefoot Bandit, Lindsay Lohan all in the same room. What would you get? And, besides a bunch of, mixed up DNA, you get a public fascination with weirdos and strange stories, yet the stories that need to be heard about the missing, and we'll talk about Kyron Harmon in a bit, and other high-profile cases are being ignored by the media to cover these dumb stories like Barefoot Bandit. And I know you do a lot of media work. Ratings sell, I get that, but what do we do? What does the public do to try and convince the media that what they're covering just makes no sense?
Well, as you say, ratings sell, and when, for example, MSNBC and Fox and CNN, when they see certain stories that they run spike, they know what they're going to do. I mean, I can think back as far as Natalie Holloway.
Yeah.
And I was walking in a TV studio about 6 months after she had disappeared with Greta Van Susteren. You and I talked about this before, and I said, "Greta, nothing has changed in 6 months. Why do we keep running this?" And Greta said, "Well, in my case," she said, "my ratings have doubled."
Yeah.
She says, "I can't afford not to run this story." So, you know, the unfortunate thing is there are people who live vicariously through these type of stories. They follow them like a soap opera, and as long as they do, the media is going to respond to that lowest common denominator, the lowest number of brain cells that are out there, and those are the stories that are going to be put out.
And there's some that have a genuine interest in missing, like Natalie Holloway, like Kyron Horman. But this Barefoot Bandit and the Facebook and MySpace and all that, it just drives me nuts. And let's hope that the Barefoot Bandit is wearing jail running shoes and a jumpsuit for many years to come. But really, Clint, this guy's going to be done, and the next one's going to be the T-shirt Bandit or the ball cap Bandit or something. There's another one out there that's ready to start his 15 seconds of fame.
Well, and when they see the fame that he gets, and when they say, hey, this guy's going to get a book deal and a movie made out of him, and he's got 80,000 fans following him, there's a lot of people that want that same type of fame and will do antics like he's done to get it. And Dana, eventually somebody's going to get hurt. And as you say, the reality is, you know, television news is such a wonderful media. We ought to be using it for real significant issues, and law enforcement ought to be dealing with real hardcore criminals instead of having to put up with some type of a nuisance like this, trying to stop him before he hurts himself or somebody else.
Clint's website, livesecure.org, is a great place to get a free copy of a DVD called Protecting Children from Predators. And, of course, the Silent Bodyguard, which we've talked about before, go there. It's an app that's well worth it. Many of you have emailed me to say that you've gone and picked up that app. Kyron Harmon, a sad case, and, boy, does it have a bunch of different twists and turns. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, you know, as your listeners know, because they followed this story with you, I mean, this story deals with about 6 weeks ago, a little boy, 7-year-old boy, who allegedly disappeared from his grade school, that his stepmother took him to school, allegedly saw his science project, left him in the school, and he never came home, with the idea that he disappeared from that school. Well, that story has, you know, kind of broken down somewhat. And Terry Harmon, the stepmother, has basically been convicted already in a court of public opinion. But there seems to be, you know, quote-unquote facts that kind of lead that way. You and I know we always look at the biological, we look at the step-parents, those closest to a victim, especially somebody young like this. We look who was last with the victim. Well, she qualifies in both areas. And then her story about where she was and what she was doing after she dropped this little boy off at school doesn't seem to match the pings on her cell phone that indicate she was someplace else. Perhaps in an area where law enforcement spent about a week diving in a lake looking, unfortunately, for this little boy's body. She was allegedly angry with her husband over an alleged affair on her part. The husband said she suffered postpartum depression after the birth of their about a year and a half old child. He said depression that affected her behavior. She allegedly tried to hire a hitman 7 months ago to kill her husband, somebody the media suggests she had an affair with. And now, Dana, in the middle of all this, and this poor little missing 7-year-old boy, she is now alleged to have engaged in a sexual affair with a neighbor and a friend of her husband's, to include sexting pictures and sexual notes back and forth and some other type of behavior. You know, it leads us to say, is this woman just nuts trying to bring all this attention on herself? Is this anger, rage? Is it depression over her husband's alleged affair? And even if half of this is true, you know, you have to think. And, you know, your listeners know from a law enforcement perspective, we're looking at means, motive, and opportunity. Who had the means to commit a crime? Who had the motive to do it? And who had the opportunity? And we look at the potential suspects. The stepmother fits right in there. And as far as motive, you have to say to yourself, if in fact she was going to hire a hitman to try to kill her husband, if she wasn't unsuccessful in that, could she have resorted to something else to hurt him badly, such perhaps as the life of his son? These are, I think, the reasons why law enforcement has to continue to look at her. And when those, you know, people say, well, why don't they just arrest her? Why don't they put her in jail?
Yeah.
Well, she seems to be melting down, doing these stupid things when she's on the street. So, you know, Dana, if you and I were working a case, I'd say let's leave her out and let's see what she does next while we continue to try to build probable cause. You know, you're going to have linking physical evidence that somehow is going to say she had something to do with that little boy's disappearance. And right now, just like, for example, we talked about Natalie Holloway, We don't actually know what happened in Natalie Holloway because, as Joran Vandersloot's father allegedly said, no body, no case. That's kind of where we're at right now, unless law enforcement can build a real strong circumstantial case against any suspect, to include, of course, the stepmom.
Clint Van Zandt here is here, and we're talking about the Kyron Harmon case. You know, I'm not a big body language guy, Clint, but when you mm-hmm. look at the first video, the family news conference, and you see the stepmom with her arm around the biological mother, and you look at the facial expressions, and you look at the lack of emotion, and I brought it up before. There were some red flags went up right away. Something's fishy about this gal, but you're so right. When you look at probable cause or putting your case together, it's not quite there yet, but has there been too much out in the media about this right now, because she's still out and about and she's hearing all these stories, or is she just eventually, if she is responsible, going to sink herself?
I think eventually she's going to sink herself. You know, one of the things I question too, Dana, as you know, she was a bodybuilder. She was really, really into bodybuilding. And, you know, I have seen enough cases of male bodybuilders taking steroids mm-hmm. where some of them have had what we call roid rage, where those steroids just create terrible behavior on the part of some people who take them. And I just wonder, with her as a bodybuilder, if maybe she was using steroids and if maybe that contributed perhaps to the postpartum depression, to the anger, to the rage. You know, so there could be some chemical issues going on in this as well as emotional. And all of these, I think, law enforcement has to consider, and they have to say, have we got a better chance building the case with her in jail or out of jail? We know, like, for example, down in Florida, where that young mother was enclosed, the Anthony and the Casey and Kaylee Anthony case, where the young mother was a suspect in that case. Well, law enforcement arrested her and put her in jail, thinking that she would break down and say what she did. Well, here we are, you know, almost 2 years later, and she hasn't confessed yet. So I think the law enforcement agencies, the sheriff's office, the FBI, who are working the Kyron Harmon case, they have really put a cone of silence over this case.
Mm-hmm.
And in their own minds, rightfully so. I think maybe they're tired, like you and I in our careers. You get tired of seeing your case tried, and I used to see things in papers and on television. I'd say, where do they get this stuff? You know, it's got nothing to do with the case that I'm involved in whatsoever. It's like somebody just makes things up, which was the case, you know, I know when I was down covering the case of Natalie Holloway, I ran into some reporters in a bar in a restaurant one day. And they were just sitting there exchanging stories back and forth, and they were saying, well, let's say this today, and let's say that tomorrow. Dana, they were making it up. And sometimes I think law enforcement believes that happens all across the board, and maybe they would just rather conduct their investigation in silence without sharing anything with the media. And as desperate as inquiring minds want to know, you and I know the best way to conduct an investigation would be so only law enforcement knows what's going on. Usually there's leaks in a case. In this particular case, it looks like the only information that's coming out is that the biological father is giving out to the media in the Kyron Harmon case.
Yeah, and we just hope that Kyron is found, and just like every other missing person case, and the person who's responsible for his disappearance is brought to justice. There's going to be a lot more to talk about this case for sure. While I've got you, Clint, let's talk about that DVD, Protecting Children from Predators.
Yeah, thank you, Dana. As you know, Kyron Harmon was 7 years old when he disappeared, and there are some who suggest he might have been taken by a sexual predator. That was my case when I was 7 years old. I was kidnapped by a sexual predator. I managed to escape very quickly. But, you know, I didn't tell my mother for 50 years. Nobody knew about it because, like so many victims, I thought I was wrong. I thought I had done something wrong, and I didn't share that information. Then as an FBI agent, I had worked enough cases of missing children. I had sat down and held hands and cried with the parents of children to have to tell them that their missing child is not coming home, that the child had been kidnapped, assaulted, and murdered. And we came to the point after I left the FBI where we put together this DVD, Protecting Children from Predators. It's 45 minutes, basically, of what we think every parent, grandparent, brother, sister, caregiver, school teacher should know about sexual predators. When people say, well, should I let my kids watch it? I say, you watch it as an adult, as a caregiver first, and then if you think your child's old enough, but at least get that information and be able to share it. And Dana, my wife and I have paid for these. We haven't had any financial benefactor. We've given away over 15,000 of them on the Internet. We continue. We just ordered another 5,000, and we continue to give these away. And they're free, at, as you know, at LiveSecure, LiveSecure.org. At LiveSecure.org, you can get our free DVD, and you can get access to just a ton of personal, family, travel, business-related security information that is just there, and we just set that up as a public service.
And the best piece of security for those that carry the iPhones and that around is can be found on that same webpage. Let's talk about that before I let you go.
Yeah, you know, we've been very fortunate. We hooked up with a woman on the West Coast who both of her daughters had been friends with young women who had been assaulted and murdered by predators, and she just didn't know what to do about it, and she came up with this application for iPhones and now Blackberries. 99 cents, you know, Dana, that's about a third or a fourth of the price of a cup of coffee at Starbucks. A 99 cent internet, 99 cent iPhone or BlackBerry application that you download, and then it gives you the ability by the push of one button to send four different messages, one a text message and three emails that would basically say, this is Dana, I'm in a threatening situation, please send help. And once you activate that button, it sends that message out every 60 seconds. And not only the message, but it sends out a GPS map with your exact location, and that map updates every 60 seconds. Dana, wouldn't you and I, on our time on the street investigating a missing person or a kidnapping, love to have something like that? Not just information that somebody is missing or somebody has been kidnapped, but an actual every 60-second update of where that potential victim was. You know, that's something I wish I would have had during my career in the many cases that I was involved in.
Absolutely. It's very cheap insurance, that's for sure. Clint, thank you. It's always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Dana. Be safe.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Clint Van Zandt. You'll know him as a former FBI agent, author, and for heaven's sakes, go to livesecure.org. 99 cents for that app, a free DVD on how to protect kids. That comes right out of Clint's pocket, and you can't get cheaper insurance than that. My name's Dana Pretzer. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. We'll be back in just a minute with criminal profiler Pat Brown talking about her new book, The Profiler, aptly titled, and are her thoughts on the Horman case, Lindsay Lohan, crazy Mel Gibson, you name it. There's all sorts of stuff going on out there. And a little bit later on, Robin Sachs will be here talking about the battle for little Vanessa, Stacey Doss's adopted baby Vanessa. And it's a story that you cannot miss. You won't find this story on any other internet radio show. You'll only find it on the real one, the original. Dana Pretzer Show. We'll be right back. My next guest, you'll know Pat Brown, is a criminal profiler. Her new book called The Profiler can be found on Amazon. There's a link in the show notes. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about the Kyron Horman case and how she has volunteered to be Lindsay Lohan and Mel Gibson's lifestyle coach here in the next little... No, that's not true, is it?
Well, it depends how much they pay me, because it's going to be a hell of a job.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you.
I don't think anything is going to bring these two back. I mean,
you know,
they just don't learn.
Is this Mel Gibson? Is he an absolute lunatic or what? Like, we all, you know, we all have a bad day. We have all lost our tempers. But listening to this guy, and I've been a policeman now for 28 years, and I've had people scream at me, but I have never heard anything quite like this guy. He needs some help.
Well, I think, he has got such a huge ego that,
yeah,
in his opinion, nobody should ever challenge him. He should get his way all the time. And we see actually that with Lindsay Lohan, too.
Yeah.
You know, somebody said, well, Lindsay Lohan, you know, she's like an addict, she's an alcoholic. I'm like, no, she's just addicted to attention.
Yeah. She's
addicted to getting her way. She wants to get her way all the time, and that's Mel Gibson too. They're addicted to getting their way, and when they don't get their way, they're like a little three-year-old child throwing a temper tantrum. Only that they're big and they can cause more harm.
What about, and some in the media, and not me, by the way, because there's no defense for Mel Gibson, but some of the media are trying to defend him somewhat, saying that his ex-girlfriend was setting him up right from the get-go with tape recording the phone call, and how it's getting leaked now to the media is pretty obvious. But really, you want to protect yourself, and I think if I remember hearing the tape correctly, she called him insane a couple of times and he needs to be on medication. I think this is more of a case of someone who's been battered and abused trying to protect themselves. It's just unfortunate now that it's in the media, but when you're dealing with somebody, Pat Brown, that's in the media all the time, like Mel Gibson, I guess you fight fire with fire, or am I wrong?
Well, they both put themselves in a situation that either one of them could have seen a lot of it going in. I mean, this woman was not naive as to what kind of guy Mel Gibson was, since we've seen some other behavior from him before on the side of the road with a police officer that wasn't too pretty.
Right.
So it wasn't like she didn't know this man had issues. He, on the other hand, goes into what kind of relationship is he going into? So, both of them are deciding to go into this pretty much with their eyes wide open, but they both want what they want. The only problem she ran into was that he's a lot nastier than she is. Maybe she's conniving, but he's violent,
yeah,
and tempo-wise. So, I mean, she's going to get the short end of the stick on that. Of course, if she was just out for money, then she's won.
Yeah, it's a sad case for sure, and that's not the only reason I brought you on the air tonight. Pat Brown is here, criminal profiler.
I like talking about non-homicides once in a while,
Well, exactly. Let's talk about that poor little boy, Kyron Harmon. When we see the media coverage, and now we have murder for hire plots, sexting now, the stepmom, protection orders, and of course the poor little boy, the victim in all of this, who knows, with her being a bodybuilder, maybe she had a little roid rage going on, and
she definitely had some steroids, because no woman gets muscles like that just lifting weights.
Yeah, there's something going on, but I go back, and I've mentioned this before when I've covered this story. The initial or the very early days of it, when the family was doing the, and you've seen the video too, Pat, when the family was doing the press conference and you saw the stepmom with a very strange expression on her face, with her arm around the mother, the biological mother, who was obviously devastated. I'm not a big body language guy, but by God, when you looked at that video, you could see something was fishy there.
Yeah, there was a kind of creepy sensation, like she wasn't standing shoulder to shoulder with everybody. It's almost like she's putting her arms on and going, look at poor little me. I'm feeling really sad about this, too. I mean, almost in a childlike way. It's like, that's not quite normal. And what we've seen from her, all of her behavior, really does exhibit traits of psychopathy all along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And look at what happens usually. Your child goes missing, and there's only a few things on your mind when that happens. The first one is that you want to find that child. That's the number one thing that's going to take up 99% of your mind and your day. You're not going to sleep at night. You're just going to be struggling constantly to try to figure out what happened, how to get them back. That's all you're going to think about. You're so devastated and so scared. And the second thing on your mind will be, your other child. I've got to protect my other child. Something could happen to them. You get kind of paranoid about your other kid. And the third thing is, we gotta stick together, because when he comes home, he's gotta find us all here together. We gotta be waiting for him. Well, nothing that Terry Horman did looked like any of that since the day Kyron disappeared. She obviously, once he was gone, she was ready to move on. She was finished with that episode of her life, and really, quite frankly, never showed a whole lot of interest in what was going on. She wanted to go to the gym, and now, of course, she wants to have a little sexual affair. She really doesn't have her mind there at all. Now she's interested in getting money, because she's trying to get that off of Kane now. I mean, here you have a woman who allegedly tried to kill her husband, and there's a top suspect in his disappearance of his son, and she's been cheating on him with his childhood friend, and she's going to go to court and ask him for some money. I mean, she doesn't have any clue about how her behavior is. It's just so abnormal, very, very psychopathic. And, we're seeing that she's just not interested in seeing what happened. She doesn't care about Chiron. It's very obvious. And we see that a lot in people who have actually killed their children. I'm not saying she did, but in many of the cases I've worked where the person is the top suspect in killing their child, one of the things you'll find is like they're sitting on the sofa watching TV and they're whining at their family members going, are you going to look for him again? When are we going to get back to normal life? And it's been about 3 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Not 3 years, 3 days. And they know the person's dead, so, you know, their kid's dead. Why bother?
Oh, exactly. Pat Brown is here. Make sure and check out her book, The Profiler, at Amazon. There's a link in the show notes. When you see a story like this, and I think of poor Kaylee Anthony and this little boy, and of course everything has to be proven in court, but is this a case like with Kaylee Anthony that it's very possible that the little guy just got in the way of someone who wanted to live a different lifestyle?
That is very, very possible. What we see that happens a lot with, again, we don't know that she's psychopathic, but I'm looking at her, she's displaying those traits, is that a psychopath will use somebody if they're useful to them. So as long as that child brings them attention and is fun and is doing something for them, they're happy about it. But then when that child becomes a nuisance or the attention is no longer coming their way, they're ready to go on to something else. They need some more excitement in their life, and that child is becoming a problem for them. And sometimes they'll just walk away, but other times they'll decide, well, I can't walk away, so I'll just knock them off, and then I'll be free. Or they'll think they can create some kind of excitement by getting them, by having them go missing, and they can be part of a drama.
Yeah.
And we do see that Terry Hormone is very interested in CSI and all this kind of stuff. So she may have envisioned, if she did this, that if she got rid of Chiron, she can get rid of an annoyance, and so she won't have to deal with him anymore. Maybe she wanted to get back at her husband for whatever reasons. At the same time, if he goes missing, wow, you know, it's just going to be on television, and everybody's going to feel sorry for her, and oh, poor, woe is me. I took him to school. I was a good stepmommy, and he disappeared, and I feel so terrible. But it didn't quite work out terribly well. I think, you know, she obviously, if she did this, did not expect that she was going to fail 2 polygraphs, and everybody was going to be pointing fingers at her. And she didn't really think that there was going to be, the police were going to be onto her like that.
Yeah.
I guess she just, you know, if you look at a lot of her behavior, she does obviously doesn't see the consequences of things. Yeah. Like, you know, having a sexual affair and sexting at this point in time makes you look really bad, and how much more bad do you need to look? Everybody already thinks you're a scum, you know, and then you're going to do this on top of it. She doesn't have that awareness because she doesn't really care about anybody but herself. And so I think that could be the reason. She could have had a triple reason for doing something like this. And a lot of times psychopaths do it. It's not just one thing that they're looking at. It's just a couple different things.
Well, yeah, exactly. And we all hope for a miracle that the little boy will be found, like in the Smart case.
Not likely, you know. And by the way, as far as the motive goes, let's say they do eventually arrest Terry Hormone, and it turns out she did indeed commit this crime, and she's convicted. The defense attorney is going to come up with some interesting reason why it happened. If she goes for a plea bargain, for example, some kind of he drove her crazy, or she had postpartum depression, which is ludicrous. She did have a depression. She was fed up with being married. She was fed up with having a kid. Maybe fed up with having him around. But that has nothing. And fed up with having her body go, you know, after you have a baby, it doesn't look so good for your bodybuilding anymore. So she might have been annoyed about that. But I doubt postpartum depression was part of it. But we're going to hear these excuses, and if she gets convicted, and we know the media comes out and says, "Why did you do it?" She'll have another story. So we can never really know, you know, why she did what she did, if she did it. Because psychopaths lie. And so, quite frankly, motive, we'll never know for sure.
Let's switch gears for a second while I've got you. Pat Brown's here for the next couple of minutes. My commentary on the webpage today dealt with if you had Roman Polanski, Lindsay Lohan, the Barefoot Bandit, and Joran van der Sloot all in a room together, what would you get? And besides a bunch of screwed up DNA, my point was, is this weird public fascination. You know, my last guest talked about going back to Dillinger and Bonnie and Clyde and how the public would cheer them on, this Barefoot Bandit. They cheered them on.
It's kind of funny because we actually had Joran van der Sloot and the Barefoot Bandit are like at opposite ends of the fan club type situation. The Barefoot Bandit, there were tons of people cheering him on with the Facebook pages and Twitter and all this. And Joran van der Sloot, I've always said I could make a Joran van der Sloot dartboard and I'd make a million on eBay. Everybody hated that guy's guts. And the real difference being that, of course, Joran van der Sloot, when he gets on camera, he's so arrogant. Everybody knows he's lying like a dog. He's called his victims terrible names. He's called the victim's mother's terrible names. And he's not a nice human being when he's presenting himself in public. And they suspect him of killing two women, so brutally killing two women. So he's not well-liked. But on the other hand, the Barefoot Bandit, they think is kind of a cool folk hero. It's like, look what he's getting away with. It's so exciting. We all wish we could get away with things in our lives, and that's why we like to follow him. And I think to myself, you want to get away with crime? Is that what you're trying to tell me? The guy's a two-bit criminal. I mean, he has burglarized God knows how many people. He's threatened people with guns. He's upset a tremendous amount of people. He's wasted a whole bunch of resources. He's boosted cars. He's boosted planes. He's, you know, caused a havoc every place. I don't see what's particularly likable about the guy. And so all I can think is that there's a lot of people out there who really need to put their heads back on straight and think, is it really some kind of wonderful thing to watch a person break the law constantly since they've been 12 years old, that they're juvenile delinquents and thugs, and then they grow up to be, continue that into adulthood? That's something to be impressed by. Of course, his old mother is. She thinks he's really cool. We know what tree he fell from, you know. But, you know, the rest of the people, it's really concerning that actually people are cheering that kind of person on, because he really is a two-bit little creep. Well, I mean, there isn't. He's not even flashy. You know what I'm saying? It isn't like he's some really, I don't know, the kind of the Pink Panther image that we think about, where he's not actually, oh, you know, he's breaking into a museum, he's stealing a jewel, you know, as opposed to, you know, just doing two-bit crimes across the country, hurting, you know, average people. He's, you know, it's not something fancy like that, where you think, okay, nobody normal is being, you know, attacked in these situations. And he's, you know, he's got this incredible brilliant plan of breaking into the museum. You know, we used to watch it, like It Takes a Thief.
Right.
You know, it was fascinating to watch how he figured these things out, and he'd commit these crimes, but with the blessing of the government, of course. And so that gave it an okay, you know, aura to it. But, you know, I just don't see anything about this guy that these people should be excited about. He's just, they're going to see it, I think, once, you know, that now that he's arrested, you can see he just looks like a little creep.
Yeah, Simon Templar, he's not,
not the saint, no. And that's the thing, they try to call him the Robin Hood, and the saint was called the Robin Hood of modern crime.
Right.
But he was trying to help people. He would do criminal acts, but he would help people when he did them. This guy wasn't helping anybody except himself.
And trying,
I don't know where he got the Robin Hood label.
And trying to profit from it, and they all try to profit from the heartache.
Well, his mother's going to profit from it. She's the one who's trying to get a book deal, a movie deal. So I guess she finally figured out that pregnancy paid off.
They all try to profit from the heartache that they cause others. It's just unbelievable. The book is The Profiler. Go to Amazon and pick it up there. Pat Brown, Criminal Profiler. You can see her on all the cable news shows talking about high-profile cases like that. And every so often, I can get her to come on mine. Thank you, Pat.
Didn't give me any time, Dana.
Take care.
Thanks for having me on tonight.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Pat Brown. And, yeah, everybody, you know, but there is that weird faction out there that adore Joran van der Sloot, too. I'm not sure why some in the public adore the criminals the way that they do. But all these bad guys want to profit from the heartache that they've caused everyone else. And it's bizarre. Anyway, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with Robin Sachs and Stacey Doss and talk about justice for Stacey and baby Vanessa. This is a story you don't want to miss. It's one that, you know, just will make you shudder. It does happen in today's society. I'm Dana Pretzer. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. We will be right back. Okay, we're back. This is the Dana Pretzer Show. Trying to get a hold of one guest, and it's a little difficult, but I do have Robin Sachs with me. Hi, Robin.
Hi there, Dana. I miss you.
Yeah. You're busy, and that's okay. I understand that. We weren't able to have you on the show last week, but you were doing something really important, and I was hoping to get Stacey. We still may in this next segment, but let's talk about something that you've been doing a lot of media with. It's a story that's mind-boggling, actually. Justice for Stacey and baby Vanessa. I'm going to throw the ball to you.
Well, what's been going on is a horrifically sad situation in which Stacey Duff adopted through the help of an adoption agency, going through the legal channels, where it was a two-party being informed and going through an interview process where both parties, meaning the birth mother and the adoptive mother, were able to interview each other in advance of the birth of this child.
Robin, and I want to interrupt for a second. I think I'm going to get Stacy. Just hang on a second, okay?
Okay, great. Okay, thank you.
Okay. I think we're going to have Stacy Doss here, too. Stacy, is that you?
Yes, it is. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. So I'm going to conference you in, and your attorney, Robin Sachs, is there. I'm sorry I cut you off, Robin, but we do have Stacy, and I'm going to let you introduce the story again. Stacy,
okay,
we're getting...
And I want to clarify, I am not representing Stacy. I am just I have a personal vested interest in the justice in this case.
Okay.
I don't like the way that the case has been handled, but she does have her own team of lawyers, so I just want to make sure that that's... I just want to make sure that that's clear. But basically, I'm going to let Stacy, if that's okay, kind of give the story. But my involvement just became when I became aware of this case through my work at KNBC and heard about what was seemingly like an atrocious injustice of a not just an alleged, but a convicted batterer of great levels was coming and all of a sudden going to exert his parental rights as a way to somehow really further the domestic violence and the abuse against the birth mother in this case.
Okay, let's go to Stacy. Stacy Doss is here, and she adopted baby Vanessa at birth with the help of an adoption agency. This was an illegitimate adoption, I'm reading here. Baby Vanessa, now 2 years old, has been ordered to return to Ohio. I've got my own thoughts about Ohio. We've done several stories on that. Stacy, what's going on? Hello, Stacy?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you can hear me. Tell us what's going on with your situation and baby Vanessa.
Sure. Actually, the adoption has not been finalized yet. A potential birth father stepped forward before the adoption was finalized. It took the Ohio courts about 4 months to order a DNA test, which then proved that he was in fact the father. California and Ohio have been fighting over jurisdiction of the case for 18 months, and now we've filed with the Court of Appeals here in California. We should know by Friday, and the current order that stands is that Vanessa return to the custody of Montgomery County Social Services in Ohio by Friday.
Now, you're obviously devastated by this. There's some history. How much did you know about baby Vanessa when you were going through the process?
Well, her birth mother selected me when she was 8 months pregnant, and we talked several times, and she was the third birth mother to pick me, and this one just clicked. And I knew, a lot about the birth mother, and I knew about, Vanessa, and I knew when she was going to be born, and I was told there was birth father was a one-night stand, and she signed a documentation to that effect. And so it was my understanding that there was no father anywhere in the picture.
Okay. Now, Robin, I know you're not her lawyer, but as an attorney, when you see a story like this, and Mills, who has spent time in jail for domestic violence, there's and all the safety advocacy you do for victims, etc. Like you said, you saw this story. There must have been a ton of red flags that went up.
Oh, of course. I mean, the red flags were bleeding off of the papers that I was reading about this case. I mean, but the thing that was so horrific is that there was somehow this perception, not only within the court, but also within the perception of this birth father, that this little baby was going to somehow become a piece of chattel, a piece of property that we can just plop around, when this child is already bonded with and been with a mother, her mother, who was a loving, caring mom, better than any mom that could have ever been provided for her, and the relationship that came about through
what would seemingly appear to be a legitimate process. There would be no way for Stacy to have known that the birth mother wasn't being honest. And then the thing that's so horrific is that even though this father came forward, it's not like this is father of the year who somehow got gypped of his rights and would otherwise be a fantastic father. The fact of the matter is he has very little chance, if any chance, to actually parent this child. He's relinquished custody of other children. He's been convicted of domestic, convicted of domestic violence and so forth. And all the warning flags are there. So it seems like to pull this child apart, to simply go through the foster process as a torture method to not only to Stacy but to the birth mother is horrific, and that the courts are basically sanctioning that.
What do you, Stacy Doss, what are you hearing from your attorney? What are they telling you? Why is this happening now? There's got to be, besides they're manipulating the system and using this poor baby as a pawn, for lack of a better term, what are they telling you? And are you able to, first of all, are you able to put up a good fight?
Well, we are. We're putting up the best fight we possibly can, and I do believe that the intentions are not to actually take care of Vanessa. I think she's viewed as a piece of property by the birth father, and I think he's angry with the birth mother for putting her up for adoption. I believe the birth mother was trying to stop the cycle of violence and at least save one of her children. So it's not right what she did, but I understand why she did it. And the things I've read about him are pretty horrific.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Stacy. There's just one point that I want to make sure that gets mentioned that hasn't really been mentioned in much of the media. And that is that there's this balancing that seems to be going on between the birth father's rights and the child's rights. And why that there's a presumption that the birth father should be more important than the health and safety of a child is beyond me. And that's what this father is saying, is it doesn't matter if this kid's in danger. My rights are more important. I mean, if you don't get any more, barbarian than that, I don't even know what is more barbaric than that.
Okay, go ahead, Stacy. What were you saying?
I was actually going to say that I'm finding that this case is bigger than just me and Vanessa.
Right.
That there are so many people that have come to me now and said, oh my gosh, this has happened to me. And unfortunately, if I understand it correctly, in divorce, the best interest of the child is considered, but in an adoption, the birth father's rights trump the child's rights, which is absolutely ridiculous and has no common sense. And it's made me feel like this is part of a much bigger issue that we need to. There's laws that need to be changed.
There is a huge issue. Stacy Doss and Robin Sachs are here talking about Stacy's fight to keep baby Vanessa. Robin, with all the media that you've done, this character obviously and his attorney are loving to manipulate the system. Parental rights are one thing, but the big picture. What kind of response have you got with the media work that you've done so far?
Well, the one thing that's been so wonderful is that I've only been involved in the Good Morning America aspect. I know Stacy's been approached and has actually participated in other newsworthy sources to be able to help explain the mess, that what's going on, and explain what's going on in order to help educate society. But the response from Good Morning America, at least from all the people who have seen that, has been an unbelievable amount of sympathy, not only for Stacy but for Vanessa, and this overwhelming desire to change the system, not just get Vanessa, to ensure Vanessa's safe with Stacy, but also to ensure that other children never, never have to go through what Stacy and Vanessa are going through now.
Stacy, what can my listeners do to help?
Well, I do have a website. It's OperationVanessa.com. And anyone who lives in the Dayton, Ohio area, there's a vigil tomorrow evening. It's Thursday evening, and that is noted on the website. And in Orange County, California, there's a vigil here where I live. And there's also an opportunity to make a donation, send in an iPetition, volunteer time. We've got a lot of people doing a lot of different things on a lot of different committees. you know, if anyone has any information on anything to do with any parts of the case or any good advice. I mean, I've gotten outreach from all over the place, and I've been pleasantly surprised at how overwhelmingly the city of Dayton has embraced me, you know, and just really sort of reached their arms out to me and have protected me and are helping me through this ordeal in case I do have to go to Ohio for part of the proceedings. I've gotten offers for places to stay and, you know, babysitting for Vanessa and just all kinds of help. It's been amazing. There's been some really good people that have come forward.
And give us that website one more time, please.
Sure. It's Operation Vanessa, V-A-N-E-S-S-A.
.com. Okay, Robin, I'll give you the last word.
The one point that people need to understand is this isn't even an issue where the birth father is likely to ever have custody of the of Vanessa. So what he's fighting for is not for himself. He's fighting to get the two-year-old child to be placed in the foster care system and have him have Vanessa become another person who gets monitored by the state. And who that foster parent would end up being is up for debate. But that's the thing that's so atrocious. This isn't even something for him that's going to have any necessary benefit for him. And that's something that should be known out there as well.
Okay, great. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you coming on, and I hope the best for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Again, go to the website. It's OperationVanessa.com and sign the petition. Do what you can to help this. This is a tragic story that shouldn't be happening. Let's do what we can, though. It's best for these young kids and keep Vanessa with the woman who cares for her and who's trying to adopt her. And if you want to protect kids, go to livesecure.org. And, you know, we do this on the show all the time. We give you the resources and we give you the opportunity to check them out and give you the information that will help you and your family. That's it. That's tonight's show. I hope you enjoyed it. Our webpage is www.scaredmonkeysradio.com. We'll see you again soon here on the Dana Pretzer Show.
You've been listening to the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We invite you to discuss tonight's program with other listeners by joining us at scaredmonkeysradio.com, where you'll find program archives, links to tonight's guest websites, and further information regarding tonight's topics. Scared Monkeys Radio is a production of scaredmonkeys.com. Thanks for listening.